Jesse Hogan will find their way to Fremantle next year. The CEO of the Fremantle Dockers, Steve Rosich, has been good enough to join us here on Time on Trade. Steve, thanks very much for your time and congratulations. It's been a really, really good period for the club.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Well, it's nice to hear that. Maybe you could add Brent Harvey to that forward half just to scoop up the front of the pack there.
No, I've already spoken to Gold Coast. Sorry, Steve. No, I'm only joking. Hey, isn't it ironic, though, that you've been trying to land a big forward for a few years now and you get two in pretty much the one day or the one season in Lobb, who I think is a better probably forward than Ruckman, and you've got your man in Jesse Hogan.
They certainly help our forward half, but as you would know, those sorts of arrangements don't fall across your lap in just this trade period. There's been a lot of work over a long period of time to continue the relationship with Jesse and his management and also Roar and his management. So really pleased to get them to our football club. They were both very keen to get to Fremantle.
Steve, well done on the trade period thus far. Can you give us an insight into what happened 5 days ago where the club released a statement for all intents and purposes stating that they were giving up on the pursuit of Jesse Hogan? The statement that Peter Bell was quoted in mentioned the term due diligence twice in three sentences. What happened there?
I think, as it said, we were in fruitful talks and proactive talks with Melbourne and Jesse's management, but unfortunately it was at that point in time clear to us that it was unlikely to proceed too much further. So based on what we were hearing from either party on both the contractual terms and also on the trade terms mostly. So therefore, we thought it was worthwhile stating our position. Now, that's changed, and that's fine, and we've kept an open mind. We didn't rule it out completely and couldn't be happier that we've resolved both a trade with Melbourne that we think meets our needs and then also contractual terms that meet our needs. So all parties are very happy.
Do you think in that five-day period, Steve, you hung Jesse out to dry?
No, not at all, because the conversations were continued with his management. It was clear after that Jesse was, if it wasn't clear before, it certainly was after that he was very keen to get to Fremantle, and we were delighted to meet with him again over the weekend. And as it's played out, he's now a Fremantle player, and as I said, we couldn't be happy with that outcome.
So was the due diligence referred to, was it off-field? Was it his foot? What was it in particular?
It was a lot of elements, and certainly with the foot, it's not ideal with the fact that he's 8 weeks into the recovery from a navicular injury, but our doctors, two different specialists, have had a look at that and have decided that it is a small risk, but it's certainly a risk worth taking in the circumstances. So that certainly has been ticked off from our medical staff.
Steve, obviously these things can sometimes go right the way to the deadline, which for a few deals, that's very much the case at the moment. Was there ever a point where you thought that this may not happen, that you may not get Jesse to the football club?
Well, there's been a number of elements. I think if you look at the package of transactions that compose the total deal today, there's in the order of, you know, five clubs and a number of players that have changed hands in effectively the one transaction. So we were working on those independently to get Jesse Hogan and Rory Love to our football club and also some draft picks. And it became clear that that was going to be a very challenging process. So I picked up the phone to Tom Pretoro from TLA on Monday morning and spoke to Tom and let him know that I thought the best way to get the outcome that we were seeking, indeed all the parties that we were talking to, was to get Tom intrinsically involved. And Tom accepted that challenge and did a terrific job. And as a result of us getting the players that we were targeting to add to Reece Conker in Jesse Hogan and Rory Lobb, to utilise an effective trade with Lachie Neal, and importantly for us, get four picks at the draft, which we didn't have in our hand prior to the trade period. So we now have a pick in the first round, second round, third and fourth round.
You beat me to it, Steve, because four picks inside that top 60 with the players that you landed, and I actually forgot about Reece Conker because it happened so early in the trade period, you've done very well. But in particular, those four draft picks, you want to go to draft and bring some youth in on top of those experienced players as well.
Absolutely. You have to have a multifaceted approach, and we've had that in our planning and mind over the last 3 years as we've looked to grow and develop our list after what was a pretty successful 2015 season, and then it fell away. So to have those four picks now to complement what we've done over the last few years, bringing the likes of, you know, Logue, Brayshaw, Chera as first round draft picks, we're going to have another one next month now with pick 14. So to be able to maintain that hand's been, I think, a great outcome, really. And we remembering that we started the trade period with only pick 6 and 81. So to now have, you know, 14, 31, 43 and 65, I think is a pretty good hand.
Steve Rossage, the Fremantle CEO, joining us tonight here on Time On.
Steve, why did Lachie Neal want to leave the club?
Look, firstly, Lachie would have been very pleased to continue with our footy club. He had a deal to go in 2019, but he sat down with us and said he had a significant opportunity at Brisbane, and we respected that, and he respected our view that if it was our view that he was to remain a Fremantle player in 2019, then he certainly accepted that. But as it's played out, we've been able to work with a number of parties, and including the Brisbane Football Club, who have been quite good to deal with in this situation, to arrive at an outcome where we've got two first-round picks in, which has enabled us to add to our list with the players we've just been talking about.
So I guess further to that, Steve, and no doubt he's been paid very well at Brisbane, but you guys would have had no worries in paying him similar amounts, I'm sure. Are you concerned that midway through a significant rebuild in your football club, you've just had arguably your second-best player and certainly your best-performed player this year, winning your second-best and fairest, choose to not only leave but not go home, to be traded to the other side of the country?
Look, that was something that he's about to be married to Jules, who's a lovely young lady, and they certainly saw some appeal in moving to a new state to start their new life. But it was a football decision as well in terms of the contract for Lachie. And as I said, he would have been happy to be a Fremantle Dock in 2019. But as it's played out, I think all parties are comfortable where it's been finalised. And we got those two first-round draft picks in, which is a significant deal for any player, respecting that Lachie is a great person, a great player, but it's still a great deal for us, and we've been able to utilise that accordingly to not only bring players in but maintain our draft hand in November.
Steve, just before we let you go, I mean, Tim Kelly's situation as it stands is unresolved as we talk a little after 7 o'clock local time. Were you disappointed in a way that he spoke about homesick and wanting to get back to Western Australia, but certainly from the outside looking in, he'd made his mind up pretty early that it was, yes, it was homesickness, but West Coast was his club of choice?
Well, we've seen both Jesse and Rory choose Fremantle as their club of choice, and we've been able to transact that, and Tim's done that in this instance as well with West Coast. Look, if that transaction doesn't take place this year, then we won't die wondering for next year and continue to liaise with Anthony van der Willen, who both Peter and I, Val and I, know quite well, and also the Geelong Football Club, to see if we can entice Tim to get to Fremantle if he so chooses to return to WA next year, if it doesn't transpire in the next hour or so.
Steve, as we let you go, how much better off is Fremantle, you know, in the short term? Obviously, you've got two long-term players through the doors in Lobb and Hogan, but you've lost Neil as well. But I guess as the checks and balances currently lie, how much stronger do you think Fremantle as a team will be round one 2019?
Well, we had a strategy and a plan in place prior to this trade period, and to now see, you know, Reece Conker, Rory Lobb and Jesse Hogan come through the door, and those four draft picks, as I said, maintaining a strong position in the draft, I think we're really pleased with that outcome. So hopefully that adds to, you know, what we can do in season 2019 and beyond, and our focus on growing and improving and getting back to finals football and consistent finals football as quickly as possible. So it's been a plan, I think, well planned, and pleasingly it's been executed.
Steve, thanks so much for your time, and again, congratulations on the last couple of weeks.
Cheers, gents. There's a bit to play out. There's still an hour and a half to go, so who knows what happens then. So,
are you just teasing us or what?
You're going to make a late play for Dylan Shields, Steve.
We have got a late trade in mind, but it probably depends on other moves to other clubs. So,
Travis Collier?
that you could be on the money there. So hopefully we can add someone of that ilk to our football club as well.